Hey, welcome to Dome Theory. It's Bobby Manning, at Real Bob Manning on Twitter, and this is Dome Theory, where every week we do an interview with someone who's going from aspiring to do something to accomplishing to do something. And this week, we talked to my friend Gianni Villegas. Villegas, as he would say. And a little background here, this show is very much associated with my time at Syracuse, my relationship to Syracuse. That's why we call it Dome Theory. It's not a Syracuse show per se, but a lot of my experiences there intertwine. And Gianni's someone who was very special in my experience there, especially when it comes to abroad, where I had some good conversations with him, got much closer to him. In fact, recently, I had some changes in my life, breakup, leaving college, just a lot of stressful things that put me in a different mind state, and he left a great voice message one morning that was really uplifting, inspiring, and you'll see that's kind of his personality here. So, some background, he's from New York City, Queens, went to Xavier High School in New York, and quite a few of those kids, including my friend Anthony Obas, who's been on this show before, attended that school. His girlfriend Val, who was in Spain with us, Gianni was in the UK at that time, but he came and visited. Then you also have Eddie, who went to high school with him, and a number of other kids who went to high school with him, and our friends Kayla, Matt Magical is mentioned in here, who's a great artist in his own right. But Gianni is a rapper, producer, and formerly had big aspirations in sports that died out in high school, opened up a hole in his life, and eventually it got filled with music, and now he's opening up about the hole in his life at that time in high school, and the experiences that he's had since. So I'm going to dive into his music, his recent music video called Arnold Palmer, and his upcoming project, The New Masculinity. This is Music Monday. Every Monday, usually Jamel Smith and I break into some new music, trends, business, that kind of stuff, but I love to bring friends on this show, especially friends out at Syracuse, as you'll hear here. Lots of people with lots of different skills, and we're all able to help each other through the time on the different projects and aspirations that we had. So let's talk to Gianni. You can find him on Apple, Spotify, all those different music platforms, and you can find Dome Theory on the very same platform. So go listen to his music, go subscribe to the show. Shout out to Taylor McLeod, who produced this show. We'll talk to him and another guest here on Wednesday. Here's Gianni.
Yeah, I'm trying to make my mama proud, my daddy proud. I got wisdom for my sister, she ain't ready now. Anyhow, I'm probably gonna stop using the word bitch, cause if I have a daughter, that shit gon' make me sick. I'm like my father, probably killed that man, manslaughter. Respect the pearls of this world, who the fuck taught you? Celebrate to these days of life, celebrate to the ones who gave us life. Y'all women need to learn how to step it up. Psych, y'all do that enough, it's tough. But I hope you know the wisdom you attain through all your pain is the same reason you breaking off all those fucking chains. This world can drive a young nigga insane, and this world can drive a woman straight to shame.
How you doing?
You've been resting up, drinking tea?
Yeah, bro, I mean, it's been like 2.5 weeks, almost three, and I just drink tea like 4 times a day, waiting for this to come back.
For sure. You've been recording though, haven't you?
No, bro. I stopped recording like 3 weeks ago just because like I couldn't record anymore. The last session I had, like I felt like my voice just end there. And then it was over after that. So I just, I went to a throat doctor. And the lady told me that I just have to, like, rest this because I'm using it improperly.
For real?
So I don't have good technique, which is why, like, I sing from my throat instead of from my stomach.
Really? And they knew that?
Yeah.
Would she listen to one of your songs?
No, she didn't. She just could tell because when you strain your vocal nodes, like, you can tell in the voice when it's raspy and hoarse. Like, my voice is still a little bit raspy. And it's because like you strain the vocal nodes in here, so they get inflamed. And that's why like it's hard for me to just use this. Bro, before this, like 2 weeks ago, like I couldn't even speak. Like it was just my voice just couldn't do that.
Well, I gave you a diagnosis and saved you, you know?
Yeah, bro, I was scared because I'm like, if I lose my voice, like what do I do now?
Well,
Like,
I heard of things like that happening before, especially on tours, because if you're performing night in and night out, and I don't even know like how many straight days were you singing and recording stuff. Like it must have been like a long run that you had.
yeah, so I was going like every week. It was once a week, but it was like 4 or 5 hour sessions. So imagine that. And on top of that, I wasn't. So basically, how vocal technique works is that when you're recording for long periods of time, it should be 90 minutes and then a 10-minute break. 90 minutes and then a 10-minute break. And you should hydrate every 30 minutes. But I wasn't doing any of that. I was just going there smoking, drinking, like just recording nonstop. And that eventually just wears out your voice. And so my voice gave up.
It's Music
Like that.
Monday. Go ahead.
That happened to SZA. Like SZA's voice got fucked up because of that.
SZA, Ari Lennox, a couple. Those are a
Yeah, like
couple
that
I
shit is
heard of.
serious. And they sing for real. Like that's the worst part. And like they need to have technique. Like Summer Walker, like she doesn't have good technique. Like if you watch her NPR time, like I was watching it with Val, and she was like, "Yo, she sings from her throat. You can see the veins pop out, and like that's horrible. That's how you damage your shit."
So you making adjustments now?
I'm resting, and then I just need to relearn how I use my voice when it comes to like doing melodic stuff, not rapping.
Right. Well, it is
But
Music Monday, and we have Gianni Villegas. Do I got
yes, sir.
that
Yes, you did. Well, Colombians go Villegas, J,
Villegas.
Villegas.
You
Yeah, there you go.
Colombian? I always thought you were Honduran.
Nah, so my mom's Ecuadorian and my dad's Colombian.
Perfecto.
Let me
Well,
put it.
it's Easter Sunday, Pascua, is that what they call it?
Yes, Pascua, something like that.
Pascua. I actually figured out what that was today because I always knew Navidad from the song, but Pascua I never knew. Like I couldn't make a connection. I always need like a point of reference. And then I heard some priest talking today because they call it the Paschal Mystery. And now when I heard him say that, like it clicked in my head, Pascua.
All the languages are connected in some way, so it's easy to make those connections.
Yeah, and that actually
Man,
came that
I
came from Hebrew. I did the deep
didn't.
dive. I went back several steps because Spanish came from Arabic in part, you know, and then that's related to Hebrew in part. Like you said, it's all connected.
We're all fucking connected. That's just what it is.
Even me and you.
Yeah, bro. Hell yeah. What? We all come from Africa. That's a fact.
For real. Some more than others. He's Gianni Villegas. There we go.
Yes, sir.
Gianni, I see you up there climbing the SEO charts, and that's so key because there's a lot of Giannis out there, artists. And that was the problem for me here too, because there were a lot of shows called the Bobcast, and now we got Dome Theory. So now the key is to make this the only podcast called Dome Theory. And you're a Syracuse guy, so you'll understand. You know what theory is, right? And then you know what Dome is. You think we're going to be
That makes
graduating in
sense.
the dome?
Probably in the fall.
I hope so. Because here's the
I
thing.
think we will. I think we will. They
So,
got to. There's, bro, if we don't graduate in the dome, like, what the fuck we doing here?
the funniest thing, you got these Facebook groups, and Facebook drives me crazy. You have these people who just complain, complain, complain. And so there's a graduation or like a Syracuse coronavirus group, and of course it's all complaints. And everybody's reading these statements by Kent like lawyers. So he released this statement that says, "We're graduating in our stadium." And so everyone's like, "Our stadium, is that the dome? Or is he like prepping it so it could be somewhere, but it wouldn't be the dome?" Here's
Oh
my
my
thing.
God.
I just want us to have a graduation period. Because for someone like you, me and you aren't best friends in the world. But I really hold like the acquaintances and like very high regard. So someone like Dylan, who I talk to every once in a while, Val, Like, these people, I don't talk to them every single day, but you want to have, like, that proper goodbye with people that you're not talking to on a regular basis. Like, I'll see Obas, like, every other week for the rest of my life, probably. But, I mean, like, you want to have that firm goodbye with people that you're probably not going to see more than a couple times the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's what we take for granted when we're here, like, together in this bubble, is that, like, how easy it is to, like, just see people that we'll probably never see in the real world. Like, we're not in real life outside of college. So, like, me seeing people like you, I don't even know, like, Kevin, the kid that directed that video, like, I won't see him, like, in the real world as often because he lives on the other side of the country. So, like, Syracuse makes it easy for us to get connected. So, I mean, I think graduation is a point because, like, we work so hard. Like, that's just it. And we paid for that. So, like, we should get that.
We had a 4 years unlike anybody. I mean, and this is what I'm talking about. I wrote last week that it's very important that everybody's got to be able to go to graduation because we lost in person. Well, I didn't. And I graduated early. But everybody else lost class time to half semester of coronavirus. Some people were protesting part of last semester and this semester, so they were out of class. And then we missed pretty much the last 2 weeks with that threat, the white supremacist manifesto that was going around on the campus. That pretty much cut off 2 weeks of class. So no one got any money back for that missed time. There has to be an effort by the university to make sure everybody can go to graduation. Because I see it right now. There's going to be certain people that can afford to get a two-night hotel and other people who are going to be working to get out of this hole. Because, you know, you got people that are unemployed. You got people who are going to be going in the debt now. We don't even, you know, benefit all that much from this debt relief. Like, it's just the extra 6 months, and we had 6 months leeway already.
Like, graduation was going to be already complicated for my parents, like, getting the hotel or the Airbnb and spending that money. But, like, that's why I'm worried about graduation, because I don't know if, like, even in the fall, like, that this situation is going to be ideal for us, because we're just, the life is completely different right now. We're, like, we're all in a stage of being where we're all going to go through it for a long ass time. Like, I already know, like, we're going to struggle a lot too, because we're leaving college, and, like, these resources are just, so we're going to be poor. Like, not we're not going to be poor, but we're going to be broke. Like, we're going to be broke as hell. And my parents are going to be broke. So it's just, I'm not even thinking about that. That's the crazy part. Like, life just said next.
How's life changed so far? It's been 4 weeks and it feels like nothing, especially just sitting in here. And, you know, I'm pretty much working morning to night, still doing my thing, and the days just go and go and go. And then I stay up late and I wake up at 11, and then it's like another day's gone. So these last 4 weeks and stuff change have just gone like nothing, which is like good in some ways and scary in other ways, because there's a certain amount of stuff I want to get done in this time.
I think that's good, though, that you're still maintaining and doing your thing, because, like, one thing I realize is that I need to be busy in order to, like, be productive with, like, myself and, like, my mental. But during these times, these past 4 weeks, it's been shitty, like, brutal. It's just because, like, I'm here in Syracuse because I'm not going back to Queens yet. It's bad in Queens. So I'm just here, like, riding this out.
And I can't believe Obas is back in city. Some of these people that went back to the city, I can't believe it.
I mean, fuck, some people don't want to be here. I get it.
Is this still, like, snow on the ground?
Man. No, it's nice now. Like, it snows off and on, but, like, it's at 58, 60 degrees now, so it's sunny out. You know? But the thing is, we came in, I took for granted the sun and all that stuff. Like, yesterday I was looking at the sunset, I was like, damn, that's beautiful.
You gotta replenish the vitamin D.
Yeah.
I've been drinking almond milk. That's key, because they got a lot of it in there. The problem is there's no protein, but one thing I'm going to be coming out of this with is muscle. So that's one thing. It's like the jail workout. That's what I'm doing.
That's what everybody's doing. That's what I'm doing. There's nothing to do. We got to be innovative and do work with what we got.
So when do you think you'll be recording, doing anything when it comes to singing again? How much longer you got?
I'm going to give it like 2-3 more weeks. I just, or maybe even like 4. I just, I need to make sure that once this resets, whatever the hell is going on over here, that I practice and get together like the actual technique that won't allow this to happen again. So probably in like a month or so, I'm just taking a break. I'm trying to make beats.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard.
So I wrote this whole interview, and there's so many things I got to remind myself of when I'm interviewing someone. And the one thing I couldn't remember with you is how we met. Was it abroad?
No, we didn't meet abroad. We met before that.
I feel
we definitely
like
met before that.
That's when we became close. We probably met in some random ass scenario before that, but I don't think we became close before you were in London and I was in Spain. If you can remember,
yeah, I think
you
abroad
can
was
me.
Just. It was just. I think we had like certain like little moments of one-on-ones in Syracuse, like everybody does. But abroad is where we like sat down and we talked and we got to know each other. And that was nice because, like, just being in another country was just so empowering about, like, being somewhere else and free and liberating. So it just felt like – it felt nice.
We talked about that a lot when you came through to Madrid. First, we hit the basketball court under that bridge there, which is something mm-hmm. you can't do mm-hmm. nowadays either. They zip-tied all the courts around here. So you had to take advantage of that while you could. You had to take advantage of travel while you could because we're not going to be able to travel for a long time. And one of the things I did 2 months ago is I got to go to Montreal. So I'm like, I'm just so thankful I did that now because who knows when the next one's going to be. And then we went to one of those spots.
Damn.
I don't even know what you'd call it. It's just a bar, I guess. We went to a bar. We got some red wine.
Yeah, because we got the bottle and the cheese and then we went into the tent in the outside.
Yeah, and that was...
That's they had like a little tent down there.
Do you look back often? Because, you know, people say you shouldn't look back at stuff like that. You should always try to make new memories going forward. But I'm always looking back on that, especially when it was the fall last year and every single day it was like 1 year ago you were doing this. And I'm just like, damn, that was the best time ever.
I don't think it's bad to reminisce. Reminiscing is good. I feel like reminiscing reminds you of like abroad for me at least was like things that like I eventually want to do for real. Like, you know, when we were there and it was like for school, like that's what the reason why we were allowed to be there. But when I look back, I'm like when I reminisce, I'm always like, I'm going to go back there. Like, I'm going to go back and travel how I traveled with school. And I think reminiscing is good. I don't know. Reminiscing just is, those are memories. You got to reflect on that.
All right.
It's not good to like be like, oh, I wish I was there instead of here. But
yeah, there you know, go. That's nice probably things. The line you draw is like sometimes it looks back and hurts, and that's why I gotta like recenter myself and be like, all right, we can create new memories that are better than those. He's Gianni.
Yeah.
You can look him up. He's on Spotify. He's on Apple Music. He's on every single platform as well as social media. The first song I ever heard by you, and I don't know if this is the first song you ever did because you were probably writing songs that you ended up tossing aside or didn't release or whatever you did with them, but Not Blonde with Matt's illustration, stick figure driving in the car with the middle finger. That was not my favorite song by you, but that's what put me on to Matt, actually, because I'd always been friends with Matt, but I never knew he drew like that. So a couple articles I've done over the last years, I've gotten Matt to do some illustrations for it. And that guy can draw. I love that guy's drawings. And there's a lot of personality in it, too. And that was the first song I ever heard by you.
Yeah, no. So, well, Matt, first of all, Matt is just, I tell him this all the time. He's like Andy Warhol and Rick Rubin. But he's like neither of them. You know, he's his own person. And like drawing is like one of the things he just does like when he's bored. But it just shows like how like he's a creative, like expressive, like him, like he's just, it's how he does it. And that's what's special about it is because he just does it his way. And like, it's so like personable, like the work he does, like drawing, even his pictures that he takes, like it's just, it's Matt. It's Matt's way of doing it. But that was the first song I did that for a school project here. I was in a film class in Schaefer. And we had to create videos. It was just using power. I don't even know what the program is called, but we had to create a video and edit it. And so I told Matt to record the video. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this an incentive because I'd already been writing so much. And I was like, let me make a music video out of something I've written already. So I recorded that song. And then I made a video with it, presented it to the class. And then months later, Val was like, yo, you got to just share something. Because I was so scared to like share something that I was afraid of opinions, so I was like, and then I posted it on SoundCloud, and it was a Steve Lacy cover. It's called Not Blown, and it's, I don't know, I just like, I like that indie sound, you know, with the real instruments.
The one thing I always said is you may, and I've known a lot of artists over the years, and there's been people I've known that have done like trendier things, like the trap beats and different stuff like that. I can say with 100% certainty that you make music I like, which makes it much easier to support you. Because, you know, 100%, if you made a song I didn't like, I'd tell you. But, you know, almost everything, it's the instrumentals, it's the jazziness of it. I love the influences you have, which is clearly like MF Doom, Earl Sweatshirt, more ethereal, atmospheric rap, which is just like that's my music. And then when you went and sampled Anderson .Paak, who's my favorite artist, on Room, like that sealed the deal. You had a fan for life in me. And that still is probably my favorite song of yours, because the sample's awesome, the feature's really good. I don't know who the feature is, but he's awesome.
Yeah, so the feature is this guy named Dylan Fabrega. But he goes by Dylan with a capital A. So everything lowercase and just a capital A. I don't know. He's I like his style. His style is very weird and quirky. Like the way he raps is so like it's nerdy almost, but it's him. I like things that sound like authentic.
And that's the hide your kids thing.
Yeah, no, and like hide your kids, hide your wife. And I met him in the city, so he's from LA. He's like Jaden Smith's cousin, and so he was in the city, and I met him. I linked up with him, and we just smoked and talked. And he was skating in Central Park, and I had already bought beats from him, so that beat is his. And so, I just like the thing is, I wanted to make a very like intimate like connection. Like I don't like just making music with people just to make it. Like I wanted to meet him and see if like it was authentic. Like just who he was and who I was working with, and he was cool, and so he sent his verses and I just did my verse. And what I wanted to do is make sure it sounded like we worked on it together. Even if he recorded it on his own, I wanted it to make it seem like, all right, he recorded his verse, let me continue off of his.
You said it was nerve-wracking to put music out there. Was it easier or harder to find people to collaborate with when you were getting started? Whether it was harder. Through visuals or features or anything like that, was it tough to break through?
Hard as hell. You know why? It's because like people don't take you serious. People are not gonna take you serious until like you take yourself serious, and like that takes a lot of like, not even practice. It's just doing it. Once you're doing it and you keep doing it, and you're consistent. Like eventually you break through yourself. And then people can tell when you're taking yourself serious. Like people can tell when that you're taking yourself serious by how you talk about yourself, what you do with this podcast, what you talk about the Celtics, what you talk about Q's basketball. Like people know when you're for real.
The greatest example, know when you're not. Shea Serrano came on this podcast. I did 6 podcasts within my first year of high school ending that summer, and he came on, and I think that was a big reason why. And then he ripped me to shreds for yelling at my mom on the podcast because she was making too much noise in the background. So I yelled like quiet down or something. And he was like, you talk to your mom like that?
Yo, that's crazy. I bought one of his books. It's all about basketball, I think.
Yeah, I got that too. And I've been trying to go through that. That's one of the many books I'm trying to get through. And I've been reading like 6 books at the same time, which is the worst thing you can ever do.
Bro, that's crazy. You had him on you. That's an accomplishment. That's just life telling you that like you're doing this for real, and people notice.
And at the same time, like I'm not just trying to have, you know, big people on here and like make waves and stuff like that. I want to integrate my friends into this as too. So you know, I've had Taylor McLeod on doing the production here, being a co-host. I've had you on. I've had Obas on. Who else? A lot of Syracuse people, but that's the thing. Like, this is supposed to reflect my personality. And one thing I always want to do when I'm thinking about, like, writing books and doing other things one day is, like, pull in people who are around me. And I think that's something you've done, too, with Matt, with Val, with Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have a whole creative team leading your project, and it's just people around you. Which, like, you know, these people aren't, like, experts at what they do, but what was the thinking behind having friends and close people to you be your team rather than like experts or like people who are amazing at what they do and have been doing it for many years?
I think it's a mixture of two. The thing is, I'm blessed that like I was able to be me at not at the fullest form, because like you will never reach that point, but like every day I strive to be a better version of myself, and I attracted those same people. And so when I see people like that around me, like Val, like Matt, like people like that, like there's just a more like passion and more like there's something fiery about people who are like just them and they believe, and it's out of like genuine love. And so like that's that, like even with the new masculinity thing I'm working on, like that was all built upon people that I felt like, you know what, these people here can actually be friends and like love each other and like actually get along, just not for the project, just because like we all believe in one thing and it's ourselves. And it's like that's important. You gotta have people who know who they are, and it's built on love.
Man, I love my producer Taylor. That guy believes in me, and that's why he's here. You gotta follow him back on Twitter. He was tight, you unfollowed. He's gonna be mad. Ooh. I said that. Taylor McLeod, he's my producer here, he's my co-host, and I told him you were coming on. He was like, he unfollowed me on Twitter.
Yo, why don't people, I don't know. I think so. That social media stuff is like...
I tell him, who cares who follows you?
It's okay. That's our generation. Like, our generation, like, I do it sometimes too, but like I had to start thinking about like myself and like my social media just to be my, to like show like me the artist, because that's the platform and resource to do that. And you know, like some people get wrapped up in like a world that isn't real.
We're gonna play your song Arnold Palmer, the interlude, but first I want to mention four great interludes, because some of the best songs in hip hop history have been interludes. And I got four right here. I wonder if you'll bring any to the table, too. I didn't tell you to, but you probably can think of some off top. Public service announcement was an interlude. Jay-Z. Maybe Jay-Z's most well-known song.
Hell yeah, it is his most well-known song.
That's Love That's by crazy. Chance. Beach is Better, Jay-Z. That was probably the most known song off Magna Carta. And then off J. Cole's most recent album, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but my favorite song was Once an Addict, which was like a 1.5 minute interlude off that thing. So you've done this with some of your music, kept it short, sweet, to the point, and the loops are set up in a way where like you get like 90 seconds, 2 minutes of like really good stuff. And you always see it with these kind of songs is the people will say they want more of it. Like, they'll almost wish the song was longer. And that's how I came away from this song feeling. We'll play it right now.
Bullets won't stop me.
Hey, look. I mean, bullets won't stop me. I'm sending choppers at your head. I'm getting money when I'm old. I'm getting money when I'm dead. I was chilling, sipping bubbly on the yacht. Then I climbed off the bed. I got bitches everywhere. Instead, I hop off in a jet. I'm going home. I roll a pack of this skunk and I get back in my zone. This is everything to me. What the fuck y'all on? What the fuck y'all on? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking, son. I stand for son. If I see you and I ain't dab you, then you probably ain't my mans. That's just how we do it. Clap it for me.
That's all they doing nowadays. Same niggas that was laughing in my face. Oh my God, we just laughing from it. The hate fades. I see the snakes and how they pray. I ain't catching no fades. I'm getting paid. Now go rap it for me. You ain't gon' do it. Got it made. And I do this any day. I give thanks. I got it made. I'm the one and only. That's a blessing. I ain't really gotta say it. See the proof and how you fade. When I pop up in the place, don't close the shades. Lil G glowing off the rays. Yeah, I'm still the kid I used to be. Same shit, different day. Y'all not that new to me. How y'all pretend is how y'all don't get through to me. All that foolery. I ain't got no bust out, but I got some jewelry. Tag you a until the newer piece. I'm on a Palmer with the swing. Cha-ching.
Classy grown man shit, you know? This is about my time.
So what's the thinking behind keeping it short and condensed as you do?
I think that's the point of an interlude. Interlude is just supposed to be a little break, a little intermission. It's just something small to like refresh your ears or your palate or whatever you're like, even if it's a movie, like if there's an interlude or like a show or a play, like it's just supposed to be a quick break. And you know, a quick break is something that like is like, I like that so much that people want to play it again. So that's just, I think to me that's what an interlude is. That's why it's so short, because it's just something real quick and all right, let's get on to the story. And like, I don't know,
I'm gonna post a video on there too. It was so good. The yellow, the green, the gray bike, the coloring was just unbelievable. I know Val was behind some of the clothes that you were wearing.
She styled the whole thing.
And Valerie Torres is Gianni's girlfriend, collaborator on this project. She's awesome, like just in every way possible. Like great personality. And really, we talk about someone who is just so low key and like isn't about social media and putting themselves out there like that. Like that's who she is. And like she just exemplifies that to them. I tweet it like 100 million times a day. I'm like the opposite of that. But I definitely envy people who are able to be like that.
Me too. Yeah, she's Valerie Torres is an artist before anything. Like, and she may not think it, but like she is. Or she may not know it, but she knows it. What am I kidding? But she's just so genuine. And I think that's why, like, I think I strive to be as genuine as like a person like her. That's why that social media stuff, she actually doesn't like it. It's like uncomfortable to her to like share that stuff because it feels fake. Because in a way, it is a little fake. It's a little bit not real. Like what? So the social media stuff, it is. It's not real. Like it's a fake world. It's not the real world. Like the way she views things, like I care about intermediate connections, the real life thing. And that's I wish I was like that.
It's so interesting too, because if you ask me, would you get rid of it? As much as I hate it, I wouldn't get rid of it because it's given me opportunity, connections, and a platform. But there's that's really what it, you have to use it as a tool, and you can't make it more than that because some people make it their lives, and that's like the line I'm trying to draw right now is to like form a line between you using it as a tool and not having it be like the entire media platform. That's why I started a newsletter. I'm trying to get like more direct content directly to people and not use social media as much. But it's hard. Like you get deep enough in it and it's really hard to pull yourself out.
But you're doing, the important thing is to realize if once you close that app, like what are you doing for yourself as a person, like in the real life? Like you're creating newsletters and stuff and that's fire. Are you happy? Like are you working on like your mental health? Are you working on like your relationship with your mom? Like your relationship with like anybody around you, like your girlfriend? Like it's just the real life, that's the important part. As long as you got that in your mind and are working on that, social media will always just be a tool and it can be what it is. It can also be, I don't know, it's addicting. It's weird. I don't understand it. I'm like a part of like the generation that's like in it.
I wish I could watch that Arnold Palmer video without knowing all the people in the background. and that's gonna be weird for you too and weird for everybody in our circle up there, because like you just know those people are supposed to be in the background and just kind of be like obscure, but like I see Dan's goofy face, I see Taylor's big hair, I see Kayla and like I know like almost every single person in the background, so that makes it so weird. I wish I could step into somebody's shoes. When did you record that video and how'd that like plan, or I don't even know the word to say, but like that thing come together that you did there?
We recorded it in March.
Wow, so like right before everything shut down.
Yeah, no, February, late February. So yeah, right before everything shut down. What's it called? How did it come together? Well, we me and the team, like we met like weeks before. We were meeting like at the beginning of the semester. So like since January, every week from at Schaefer, and then it eventually moved to Val's crib, but it was like from 8 p.m. to like 10 or 11, just every week getting deeper and deeper into the project to a point where like we would break down the videos and the ideas based on like what the song meant to me and what was the meaning I wanted to convey. So this has, I don't know, it has a lot of oldie vibes, you know? Like, it feels like just that white background in the studio. Like, it looks like a studio. It's set up, but then it also looks like we just chilling. So, and Val wanted to give it that 90s feel to it. And it's because the song has a 90s feel to it. The interesting is that, like, the beat is a boom bap beat, but we reversed it. So the beat is in reverse. And so when you hear it, it sounds like something's building up the whole time. And so it just sounds like a vinyl record is playing. And so that's why there's the jeans, the baggy shirts. But then for me, like, I got the knitted sweater. It's just because, like, it's just supposed to, I'm supposed to stand out from these people. But these people and me, we get along because we're all eccentric and vibrant.
Where'd you get all the clothes for everybody?
So we ordered those shirts. The jeans, we told people to bring their jeans or we would give them some. And mostly for, like, the whole film, because the whole film is, like, styled specifically, like, we went to, like, Goodwill and, like, we just thrifted all the stuff.
It was so Eddie to be up on the ladder above everybody, too. Did he choose that or did you even put him there?
Nah, we put him there, but, like, it just works.
Eddie is a boss. Like, that's the only way I can describe him. You went to high school with him, and he's in a lot of your music. Like, you're always shouting him out in there. Yeah. Why is that?
Because that's... See, the thing is, me and Eddie weren't cool in the summer. I mean, not in the summer. Sorry. We weren't cool at Xavier, but then the summer before freshman year started, which was summer start, me and him were in the same program at Syracuse, dorming in Ernie Hall, and then that was just the only person that I would hang out with every day. And then I started realizing, like, we're so different, but I looked up to him. I wanted to be like him in terms of, like, how he carried himself, his energy. But then as I grew into myself, I realized, damn, I'm nothing like him, but we both come from a same understanding of life. And so, like, that's just, like, my brother. Like, that's really what it is.
Shout out to Eddie. Other Xavier memory, hooping with Dylan Goris during the shoot arounds. I don't think you guys ever played, did you? But he said you had hoop dreams.
I had hoop dreams. I know Dylan didn't have hoop dreams.
Unfortunately, if you had your hoop dreams in his body, and he's, like, the tallest, longest guy I ever seen, there might have been something there.
Yeah, I know. I tell him all the time. He's a he's not. But, like, nah, I love Dylan. Dylan's been my best friend since sophomore year high school. Like, that's right at the time.
For sure. And that was my best friend abroad. I love that guy.
Yeah, he loves you.
But baseball was your first love, right? And you were pretty good at it. And then you got hurt. And that was a tough moment for you, right?
Bro, baseball, that shit, I was thinking about this, like, last week. That shit's crazy. Baseball really, like, that was my first dream. I wanted to be like David Wright for the Mets, just like the captain, you know, like doing like the right plays, just doing the right things and keeping the team together. But I blew out my arm. And then when I tried out for the team at Xavier, I didn't get in. So then I just quit. Like, that was the first time I ever quit something.
What did you play?
Second base. And I pitched. I blew my arm pitching. So I wasn't supposed to be pitching, but when I was in Little League, I was kind of good at it. So I guess they put me to pitch a lot. And I remember when I blew it out. I still feel it. It's like right here. And it's just like I lost the strength that I used to have. So throwing far or like long distance was just not a thing anymore.
And what did you fill that with? Because that was, like, a big part of your life growing up, like, to have that hole after that.
I don't even know what I did. After that, I was, like, because everybody around me, like, they were doing sports, and that was, like, their hobby, their thing, and I never had my hobby or thing. So all of high school, I was just trying to fit in. So baseball, like, losing baseball made me lose myself, but really it put me on a journey to actually find out who I really am. So it's a blessing in disguise.
And that sounds like the mission statement of the new masculinity.
Hell yeah. Like, the new masculinity is all about the new masculinity, like, talks about a specific moment, which was like last summer, where I went through like anxiety and depression and just so much like mental shit in this world, being a man, but not just being a man of color. And then the things you pick up socially and then like culturally and generationally from like my parents and everything, and all thinking about all that, just like it fucked me up. And so the whole new masculinity is like a whole journey of just like going through what I did that summer and eventually breaking free. Obviously, you don't break free from like, you're like, oh, I'm good forever. But it's just like you learn something. And that's the whole thing of life. Like when you break free and take a lesson with you, that's a positive. And so like that's what new masculinity is.
You said on Riot, I'm just like my father, on the Riot beat that Earl Sweatshirt did. And yeah. I'm going to read this line for you too, see if you remember it. Haters like Hov, why you still talking money shit? Because I like money, bitch.
Yeah. Why you talking money shit? Yeah, because I like money, bitch. That's from, is that from like 2.5 or something?
That's from Jockin.
Jockin Jay-Z, that was on Blueprint 2.5. That shit was fire. But,
you remember when you first heard that song?
No, I don't.
Driving cars with your dad?
Oh my god, it's because my dad. Okay, so look, let me tell you a story. My dad used to take me to a laundromat in Elizabeth, New Jersey. That's crazy. And there used to be this Chinese lady that would come in her laundry cart and just have a bunch of fake movies and fake CDs. And it was just like, it was in like plastic. It had the printed paper cut out as a square with the cover and the back cover and then like a CD. And my dad would always buy them. And Jockin Jay-Z was on one of those CDs. I remember we would go put the laundry to wash, and between that break, go to his car in the parking lot and just play that shit. And I remember I heard Jockin Jay-Z with him in his car.
That reminded me. My dad used to have like the download CDs. Like you'd burn them onto CDs, and you'd get like whole albums on there. So he had like these whole stacks of CDs in his car too. And I think it'd be like U2, the big three artists were U2, Alicia Keys. Who was the third one? He was big into like that like 90s R&B. Believe it or not. We listened to a little Outkast too, but he was a big music guy, so I think I got like that range of music that he had.
Hell yeah.
But that's a good memory.
Hell yeah, dads are OGs, like they teach us stuff. You know, we take that with us forever.
What other memory? You said I'm just like my father.
Yeah, I guess, well, when that whole song is about like the women in my life. And so I'm like my father, probably killed that man, manslaughter. And I guess it's just like, I'm like my dad, like I can get angry. But like, I guess that's a younger version of me. Cause now I think about it, I'm like, I realize I'm nothing like my dad. Now I'm sitting here right now, I'll tell you, I realize I'm nothing like my dad, like at all. Which is cool that I have that there, cause it just shows growth, you know?
Yeah.
Cause my dad is somebody I always look up to, like, I always had this like male like complex issue where like I looked up to the older men all the time, and it's because I idolized my dad. Like I viewed him like a god, and it's because he's always been there for me. But that like I used to think I was like my dad, but I wanted to be like my dad. But I'm realizing now as I get older, I'm nothing like him.
And I know you dedicated the project Arnold Palmer to your grandpas that both passed away, and yes. The salsa music that you used to dance to, your dad's dad. You didn't play instruments growing up, but you had a lot of music in your life. Is that, are we going to see a salsa influence one day?
Hell yeah. I mean, are we going to see some Spanish influence? I need to get back into my roots, like, fully. Listen to this. Like, eventually, like, Spanish music is going to, blow up. That's just like Spanish music is gonna take over what rap is, and it's just because of that flavor. But let me show you something. Right?
We saw it at the Super Bowl.
I did play instruments. So I played a. Yeah, we did. Like I'm telling you, like Spanish culture is just like it's gonna be fire.
Yeah. She said she believe it, and I told her I could fit in my eye. Yeah, I know we can keep it, but the secret is just something I can't hide. Yeah, she just wanna lay, but I got somewhere that I gotta be tonight. Yeah, I know when I come back she'll be fine, and I'll be fine, and that's how I.
That's how I.
Yeah, I cannot just sit around. I gotta change my life, and that's on God.
That's on God, bitch.
Yeah, if you ever need me, I'll be moving like a motherfucking God.
Like I'm God, bitch.
That's like never ever seeing, but I promise that you feel me all the time.
All the time, bitch.
Yeah. God damn, yeah. They know me everywhere that I go, but they don't even know what I know. I got a fine lady from the Northeast, she the only one that know me. I was using the women like trophies, I still view the women like trophies. Pero mira como cambia la temporada, yo quiero todo, pero deme nada. I'm the humblest nigga that I know, no quiero drama, no quiero show. If I fall down, I'll be back on road. I give wisdom for fucking free, I do not care about company. I was born alone, I die alone, if you with me not, it was up to me. I don't compare, can't fuck with me. Pero baila, mami, baila. 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 Pero baila, mami, baila.
I'm trying to eventually like tap in to like where I come from, because I've always listened to like salsa and bachata and all that shit growing up. And that's just because like that's who I am. That's who my family is.
I think it's so interesting for someone like you too, because you've come up seeing someone like Bad Bunny, J Balvin, like these type of artists become like not only like the biggest artists in like the Spanish music scene, but in like the hip hop scene in general. I mean, Bad Bunny had not a number one record, but I think like a top 10 record with his last release. And these guys did the Super Bowl.
Bad Bunny worked, and he worked with Metro Boomin, like Travis. Like, this is just like a known thing where like these artists are just not Spanish artists, they're artists within the hip hop scene.
There's no doubt that that's going to take over, because at a certain point, yeah, there's going to be more Spanish speakers than English speakers in the country. And that's why I'm trying to get into Spanish. Right. It's been tough for me, but you know, I'm going to keep working at it.
Nah, you got it better. You got it better, bro. Like, for real.
I was going to start off with Espero que tuvo un buen día.
Espero que tuviste
un buen día. Tuviste, sí. Unless I'm saying usted.
Yeah, that's true.
That's always been my cop out for screwing the conjugations up. I just use this usted. You talk a lot about how nervous you were to put yourself out there with the music. And this is a line that I thought related to you from this Anderson .Paak project a couple years ago that Snoop Dogg was on. And this is something Snoop Dogg's talked about too, and it's crazy to think about this, because Snoop Dogg is like one of the greatest rappers ever, and he just has the confidence and charisma and that bravado that like you think this guy always had, like the ability to put himself out there and be like the boss in the room. But on this track he said, "Threw my raps in the garbage, fuck being an MC. Thank the Lord for Nate Dogg and thank God for Warren G." Snoop Dogg hated rapping so much when he first started it, and he hated what he was writing so much that he almost threw his career away. Like, he didn't want to keep going with it, and he was throwing raps that he was writing out. And I know that's something that you did too. How did you get past that?
You just gotta be, I was brave. I just kept doing it. I guess I believed. I believed in something that wasn't there yet. But that's like with anything, you just gotta believe in yourself. I guess I just like something in me was like, I believe in something that I can attain soon, even if it's not there now, which is why I tried every day. Like, it would be nights where I would just write shitty ass songs and lyrics up to like 4 a.m. and it'll be like, boom, going to sleep. All right, let's do it again the next day. And it's just about doing it again. See what it is.
Is it tough to throw stuff out? Because I know when I write like a big article, I have an idea for a big article and I have to throw it out because it just doesn't work. It's like devastating for me. It's the thing I hate doing most in the world. I know I got to get used to that, because like writing is a game of no, someone told me once. Like, so many people are going to tell you no, and that like we're not taking this, or this isn't like a good idea, that you kind of have to get used to that feeling of like you did this whole thing, you spent hours on it, and you just gotta let it go now.
Yeah, that shit is hard, but that's a part of the game, bro. Like, it's just you're gonna create stuff, and some stuff is just about what you did, and it's about next. And some stuff becomes something else, something more. And that's just something. That's like life, though. You gotta learn how to just move on.
What did you pull from your time in London musically? Because you did do a project out there. And what that had a certain sound that I feel like was just like that moment in time for you. But what do you pull from that now that sticks with you now?
I think I brought, the thing is, like, London, wherever the fuck I am, London and then Antarctica, Europe, it doesn't matter. Like, it's always going to be me. And so I guess in London, it was just, I still managed to, like, the influence was being somewhere not known to me and, like, living a life that I had never lived before, which is, like, cooking every day, washing my clothes. It's not just being in London. It's like, being on your own. That's how London was for me. Like, there was no, like, host mom or nothing. It was on your own. You got to do your laundry on your own. I got to take big ass walk 7 blocks down Queensway to go put that shit in the laundry and put those quarters in and walk around and just write raps. Like, but at the end of the day, like, it was still me. So what I pulled from that is, I don't know, I'm always true to myself no matter where I'm at.
Did you say shake it like a salt shaker before Lil Wayne?
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
I don't know why I said that. That was so like I remember I recorded that in this kid, his name's Rahi. He had like a little studio in his, I think it was like on Ackerman or something. I remember that's when I was smoking OD. And I was recording this, and I just did that off the top. And I said, shake it like I said. I was just like, fuck it, I don't know. Like, that's cool.
And that became a whole Lil Wayne song the next year. That's my favorite song off that Lil Wayne project, too, Funeral.
That's crazy. Funeral was good.
Shake it like Lil
Wayne
song.
Is so damn. Lil Wayne is, like at that level where, like, you respect him, but not many people are excited to tune in and buy the music now. He's an OG now.
No, he's become a feature machine. His album was really good, and now he's back to releasing albums regularly, which is awesome. Because he has the longevity unlike anything we've ever seen. Jay-Z's 1 degree, but I feel like Jay-Z's gone up and down. Lil Wayne's just been consistent over time, 100%. And that's something I respect most about him. I mean, his influence, too. You hear him and Kendrick on the same beat, and it's like just hearing like the master and the apprentice. That's one of the coolest things I ever heard was when they got on the same song. I didn't love the song, but
that song was,
but they nah,
that
them
song
on the same
the best song on that album.
I actually like Snoop Dogg's appearance on that album quite a bit. And that was another album that dropped while we were abroad. Those albums that dropped while we were abroad have a special place with me too. I'm trying to think. Logic's album.
Big Jenkins.
Yeah.
Big Jenkins. Boz, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there was quite a few that came out while we were abroad. Do you have, like, that sense of music as a place and time? Because I always associate, like, an album that comes out as, like, a place and time. And then for you, probably, like, where you put your music out, it represents a place and time for you.
Yeah, I think music's a moment. That's what it is. It's literally just a moment and then next. That's why, like, the new masculinity has been hard for me. Because, like, it's been I recorded this a year ago. And what I like to do with music and moving forward, I would try to do this more. It's like, make music for that moment and put it out in that moment, you know, like that's what it's about. But sometimes when you need to create a vision, it takes longer. So sometimes you got to hold on to that moment for a little longer, but it's always about a moment that's not the now. It's happened already, but at least for me. And so like music is always about a certain time and a certain place in someone's life, my life, your life, subjective.
So I made everybody wait 50 minutes. What's next for the new masculinity? Next single, the release date? What information do you get on what's next for this project?
Next is, there's one more single. So the next single is Valerie. And that's the song is called Valerie. And it's going to be a video. We got to edit it. It's already, everything is shot. We shot everything even when they started the pandemic. Like, we were going out to, like, Green Lakes and these farms and getting kicked out by white people on these farms. But, like, recording on, like, these lands to make sure we got this done. But next is Valerie. So, hopefully by, what is it, April? By, like, May. Like, beginning of May, that song comes out. And then by the end of May, the whole album, well, the whole mixtape, the whole mixtape and the film comes out. And then I hope by July, August, I release the EP that I already have done so then I can move on.
He's Gianni Villegas. Did I get it that time? We got him on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you can find music, you can find him on Gianni. We'll put him out on the Dome Theory page too. This was so long overdue. I'm so glad we did it.
Facts.
You had a glass of wine. It's criminal that I didn't have one here, but I'm hoping we'll have another one soon when we're both back in New York.
Facts.
And it's only red. It's only red.
Hopefully, when this whole shit blows over, we sit down and, like, I don't know, just enjoy life again.
For sure.
Enjoy life as it is. You know, right now life is different, but, you know, it's still beautiful.
We'll see you Wednesday, everybody. Good night.
Good night.